Time zones.
Resonating spaces. Mapping Paris through GRM's lens. Directed and produced by Awu Sun.
I'm Awu Sun. I'm a French musician living in Paris, and I'm doing electroacoustic music and some sound installation. I never learned music at school. I got a diploma in cinema, and before that I was learning mathematics, physics, informatics at school. I discovered this software called Max MSP, and it totally changed my perception and musical tastes. I was so fascinated by a lot of abstract musician, and I was trying to understand what was behind their music and how they were using this software to do their music. So I discovered music from artists like Oli Herndon, Otaker, Fenez, and I also discovered GRM artist and concrete music more deeply. And since then, I'm super fascinated about this place because I think he has this really special place in the French, you know, landscape, cultural landscape. We have a strong Minister of Culture and a lot of, crazy places as museum. But GRM is really special. It's part of this huge institution called INA, where you have the radio, the national radio, and also the national television and the archive. So it puts GRM in a really unique position in our musical institution. When I was working at the museum, the Louvre Museum, I sent a message one day to François, the director, François Bonnet of GRM. I sent him an email the morning, and totally crazy, I saw him the same day at the Louvre. So I came to him, explained to him that I just sent him an email this morning. And I would love to have, you know, his opinion about my music. At this moment, I just released my first album called Simulacrum. And just after that, I was able to visit the GRM studio and learn more about this institution?
So I've been working with and at GRM since 2004-05, and it's been a long journey. I've been involved in several aspects of the activities of GRM, through musical production, working in studios, working for a concert, with setting up the Acousmonium, and moving forward, being an artistic director, so in charge of programmation, and then being in charge of everything at GRM since 2018. So it's almost 20 years of being around, and it's been surprisingly ever changing. So I still feel there's a lot to do and a lot to hope for. So GRM is really walking on three legs. The musical production and creation, and with commissioning and organizing concert, research with R&D, with developing new software, trying to think about new ways of dealing with music theoretically but also practically, and transmitting all of that is takes different shapes. It can be publishing stuff, simply like books, records, because I rediscovered when we started to do this recollection GRM, for example, we rediscovered that a lot of people worldwide connected to GRM history and aesthetics through the records. So it's something that has been a bit overlooked in the past, so we really wanted to reassess that and share our music with a wider audience possible. And another aspect is also, with kind of transmitting our ideas and our practice through education, workshops, symposia, this kind of thing. I think we always had a strange position, because we've been, GRM has been created within this huge institution that was Werther, that was radio, television, everything was gathered in one big company. And when it split, GRM went to INA, which was dealing with archive, research, teaching. So it kind of added a color to our mission. And a lot of institutions, lots of musical creation centers have been designed according to the GRM. The GRM was kind of a matrix for lots of institutions. And so with the oldest, well, not the biggest, biggest institution, and we always, I think we have a special role to play. We are definitely more international institution than compared to a lot of other centers, which are more into national or local action, and so we are kind of complementary, and we also, I think, more than any other, are very linked to a special way, and it's kind of relooping with the beginning of this discussion. It's very linked to a way, a very specific way of thinking the music out of the traditional, instrumental, contemporary, classical way. So I think we're still a bit like outsiders in a way. More and more respected, because people are not blind. They see that we have an audience, we have an aura, and we have lots of young artists come to our place, and so it's also thanks to them that this vitality is perpetuated. It's a strange, vast world with lots of different layers of history and cultural formation.
I'm born in Paris, but I moved to the suburbs when I was 6. I always had this feeling that Paris was almost like a, you know, sports court. It's quite strange how you can be that close to a part of the world and feeling so far also. But it was before I really experienced the city when I came back studying design and cinema. You know, experience the diversity of the city, the people, the nightlife. I feel in general Paris is quite hectic city. So much going on everywhere. Everyone is minding his own business. But there is also this amazing feeling of community that I experienced when I was a kid and during my year of studying there. After that, I was lucky to meet so many amazing artists. I played my first concert at La Station Gare des Mines, this, you know, amazing place, which I feel is really special right now. I had an amazing conversation with artists like Moncoff or Frédéric Dioberlin, which was running and still running one of my favorite label called Nile Recording. This night we talk about life, the reality of being a French musician, the struggle, also, you know, the positive side of it, being intermittent, which is a really specific status that we have in France. At the time, I didn't know much about it. Coming back to GRM, no need to talk about my feeling when I passed the door. The studio are actually not far from the Eiffel Tower in the 16th arrondissement in Paris. I'm not really familiar of this arrondissement, but I really enjoy being there because it's quite isolated area in Paris. Surely because it's a rich area, but for me it was perfect to work on my piece because no much distraction around. I lost one of my best friends. And actually this piece was for me a love testament to him and a way to heal a bit from this event.
Yeah, it's always my problem, as I'm saying to people. Actually, I'm still working on my elevator pitch. I have a lot of problem introducing myself, but yeah, I'm Jessica Eichelmann. I'm a sound artist, electronic musician, mainly. Yeah, those are the things I do. I don't know if it's enough. I come from France originally, but we're doing this interview in English now. But I'm a French native speaker. And we met for the first time, I think it was in the Netherlands for Sonic Act. Yeah, and we were both playing our piece on the Acousmonium of the GRM. So my feeling was that I was impressed with how loud but clear the system can be, I think. I really love to play with powerful sound. In general, I play loud in my concerts, but I mean, not that it hurts, but just like it has to be physical. And I feel like, especially in the room at 104, because it's like this wooden room, and also we are all inside the Acousmonium with the audience. It felt like I was also the audience, so we were listening together. I don't know, it was really, really beautiful setup and really special, I think. Yeah, there's a little bit something old-fashioned to it in the sense of, like, you know, when they do the diffusion of, like, all the GRM heads. Yes, they do it this way. So, yeah, it was fun. There's an archaeological aspect to what I've done. Yeah. Especially, it was really interesting, actually, in the studio to see that they have tapes. And I saw tapes, you know, because I'm working with Maxim SP, and I saw this tape, and I'm like, wow. And actually, François told me, yeah, some composers still do that. I never heard about any electroacoustic composer in Germany working with tapes, unless people have like specific reason for working with tapes, right? But from what he told me, apparently some people in France are still working the old way and really doing like tape editing, yeah. Which may also made me think, you know, like this is how things started, and actually with physical gesture, this is what you find afterward in digital software, like cutting, etc. This is inspired directly from that, right? So this is also something that I was thinking about, like, oh, the physical work of making this music and the time it takes, the perception of time, how much it changed. It's so interesting. Anyway, the influence of it, well, I think this model of the electronic music studio, like we've been on Dweller, there was this feature on it talking about this, was really inspiring for many people. For me, it's really interesting. I've been in Stockholm lately, and then I was passing by the EMS, and it's so interesting to compare the two models, because it's really different way of thinking. And I'm still interested in this model of the electronic music studio, among else because I was reading at some point during the pandemic, actually, Mark Fisher, Capitalism, Realism. And at some point he mentioned in it the electronic music studio, talking about the BBC as a model maybe for experimenting in music or music sustainability, etc., which I find really interesting. It doesn't develop it, it's just one idea it drops in there. But I thought it was really interesting. And then digging more into the EMS, also like this researcher, Sane Quote, I don't know how to say her name, she did this anthropology of the EMS, where she talks about like really going into politics, and you know, like it was created at the time of socialism in Sweden, so which is what I find interesting. It's less about, you don't know names from the EMS, right?
So I would say that there's probably less emphasis on the individual.
It's really more about creating a place, a communal place. But I think also important to go at this level, not only the thinking of aesthetic, but thinking about how things, the big machine was working on the political level also. Because it also explained why certain people were more known than others, you know, they got funding, and so it's not only about mythifying some genius. And I think it's interesting to do this not only for the sake of critique, but also to think about what we could take from this today, or like, you know, how we can make it better, because I really think, like, I've traveled quite a bit around and a lot of places where people don't have funding, because this is also the idea of, like, the state funding thing.
And this model has its own challenges, for sure, probably as much as other alternatives. But it's also still worth reflecting on it, I think, at least.
I think it's important because such places, like in terms of resources, it's amazing and really important, and these resources need to be shared on a bigger level also, not only in a small bubble like this. It doesn't mean what they are doing in the conservatory is not interesting or what, but I think it's good to not do conservation exactly like the sound from before, because I've seen in some places some people really do like pure electroacoustic music, but almost in a cliche way somehow. Like, I think the best homage you can do to this is like continuing experimenting, because this was the spirit of what they were doing at the beginning, and for this you need to open it up to other type of profiles, music, etc., and see what they can do with it. So yeah. And I think maybe like the problem of the Acousmonium maybe is like you can't move it around so much, but I think probably for many people, like in France maybe Jerem is more known, or Pierre Schaeffer, etc., but for many people the fact that they opened up this way internationally probably maybe made them more curious about this type of music. It's possible.
Yeah, my name is Joseph Kamaru. Kamaru is my artist name. I'm a sound artist, field recordist from Nairobi, Kenya, and currently I'm in Berlin and based here for some time now. And yeah, I've been making music in different mediums or styles or different projects, but heavily using field recordings and sound as my main medium. I think with the Acousmonium is quite interesting because like the speakers or like it's the channels, like you're performing the music, you're not really much present, but it's like an orchestra of the speakers whereby you're conducting the sounds for the speakers. And it's an interesting way to think about performing and you removing yourself from the stage and having the speakers and you sort of conducting, but also like referencing the old material that has been made with the studios. And yeah, I'm sure there's always an insight or something that you get listening to the music or even being in the space using the tools, because I it's like EMS, like different studios, there's usually like a sound that comes out from them and I feel, yeah, there's like how the tools you use or like the preset of the GRM, but like I don't know if there's a significant sound that is like nurtured in the studios, or like there's a sound that comes out from being in the studios. And yeah, it's nice maybe to explore these tools and try and include them in your work or practice. Yeah, it's amazing that the GRM is still existing and there's space for more and more artists to use the studio and explore the tools that they have in this music experimental concrete world. I'm curious what possibilities will be there, or like the tools they're making, or the approaches or research they're doing within like their history of building synths or with their GRM tools. Yeah, and even maybe opening up more artistic collaborations in the studio, and they have a festival, so it's nice that they also build tools, they have a space and also like a PlayStation space, which I think it's the best. And yeah, I'm curious like what their new studio or space would be, and like their ongoing motivation of the GRM institution.
Recently, I went to Amsterdam for 3 weeks residency with Etem and Dekmantel Festival. It's been a while, I didn't miss the World Focus Festival at GRM. I was so sad to miss all these amazing performances, and even more because I missed two really great friends playing there, Felicia and Lisa. When I came back, it was really a strange time. Politically, the far right party were really close to get the power in France, and the week before the election they were talking about how they will change the whole Ministry of Culture in France. And so I really think that we have to be careful and don't take places as GRM for granted. 2 years ago, when I went to Austria, I played this festival called Music Protocol, and same thing were happening there. The new government were trying to shut down this radio show, who was the only show to play experimental music on their national radio, called ORF. And I think at the end, everything went well. But we have to be really careful and fight back when things are not going in the right direction. I'm, you know, really curious and excited about the future of experimental music, and can't wait to see what will happen in a few years.
Resonating spaces. Mapping Paris through GRM's lens. Featuring François Bonneux, Jessica Ekoman, Joseph Kamaru. Directed and produced by Aoussan. Produced by Norient.